Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome. I am Jonathan Goldman. The date is December 11th, and this is the Healing Sound Show.
And I'm Andy Goldman, and we are so delighted to be here with everyone today, especially because we have our esteemed guest, Greg Braden, and we are honored, Greg, that you are with us today, and I would love to share your bio with our audience.
Andy, please go ahead.
Greg Braden is a five-time New York Times best-selling author, scientist, and international educator, pioneering new paradigms in science, social policy, and human potential. His research has produced 15 film credits and 12 award-winning books published in over 40 languages. Greg Braden has received numerous honors, including the Walden Award for New Thought and the Illuminate Award for Conscious Visionaries. He's been listed in the United Kingdom's Watkins Journal among the top 100 spiritually influential living people for 10 consecutive years and was a nominee for the prestigious Templeton Award. Actively involved in visionary organizations, Greg Braden has presented his discoveries in over 30 countries, speaking to the United Nations, Fortune 500 companies, and the U.S. military. Today, he'll discuss his new forthcoming book, Pure Human.
Welcome, Greg.
Greg, we are so excited that we are going to get to talk with you today, and we can't wait to get into your new book, Pure Human. I cannot put that book down, Greg.
I don't have the book yet, so I'm looking forward to having it delivered to my home. But Andy and Jonathan, it's so good to see you, and I'm honored to be on your podcast. I know you're in a little bit different studio today. The universe is being very selective in terms of where it shares its electricity. You know, we're working through all of our internet and electrical issues because I think this is an important conversation, and I'm so honored to be with you. We're in the same time zone.
Yes, so, we are. And Greg, we've been doing this radio show for about 17 years, and I must tell you, my dear friend, that I discovered last night that you have been on with this show more than any other guest in our fabulous Healing Sounds radio show history. So congratulations. Here is the etheric trophy for you.
I'm honored. Well, let's add one more to that list and have this conversation today then. I'm excited.
Great. Well, among other things, I mean, you've got your new book, Pure Human, coming out. We're going to talk about that in a minute. For people who do not know about who you are, where you are, et cetera, would you mind giving us a little bit of a biographical material about your rather fascinating life?
Wow, so we're going to start with the easy questions first.
That's right.
You know, you do know that's the hardest thing for anyone to talk about themselves. I was born and raised in the Midwest of this big, beautiful country of ours, the United States of America, and a rural community in northern Missouri. And I have to tell you, the things that we're going to talk about in this program are very, very different. It represents a very different way of thinking, certainly from my upbringing. And I knew from a very early age that I would be involved in the sciences in some way. I didn't know exactly what that would look like. But Jonathan, I'm hesitating because I'm thinking of a story. I'm just going to share a quick story.
Please.
I knew at an early age that I would be involved in the sciences. I didn't know exactly what that would look like, and I knew that I would use words in some way. And where this influenced me the most, at the age of 13, I went to my first rock and roll concert, the Jefferson Airplane, in the Memorial Hall, Kansas City, Kansas, about 30,000 people indoors. I sat in the front row. I told Grace Slick, the lead singer, that I was in love with her. She completely, ignored me. But here's the thing. I saw a handful of people on that stage move the hearts and souls of 30,000 people in that room. And I recognized how powerful that was. But I also saw something else. I saw that when everyone left that concert, they needed something outside of themselves to recreate the experience. They needed the album at that time, or the 8-track tape, or whatever it was, because there was something missing without that external experience. Now, not long after that, I had the opportunity also, I saw an evangelist. His name was Billy Graham. Now, the message, I wasn't so resonant with the message as I was in awe with what was happening. He was in the Kansas City Athletic Stadium, outdoors, 70,000 people. And with no music, using only his words, he changed the hearts and souls of those people. And here's the difference. When they left, they didn't need something outside of themselves because his words had changed the way they felt about themselves. And that change stayed with them through the rest of the day and through the weeks and months and through their lives. And I recognized that at an early age. And as I delved into the sciences, I felt that somehow there is a way to bridge the wisdom of our ancestors, our most ancient and cherished spiritual traditions, with the best science of the modern world, using words to share that message with people. And that has been my life path. I'm an earth scientist, a geologist is my primary degree, a very strong background in computer science, math, physics, archaeology, and astronomy. And it all works together as a multidisciplinary background to help me bring the new discoveries as well as the wisdom of the past to the forefront today. That's what this new book is all about, relevance to our past, and giving us some insight into what we may be experiencing in our lives today. Mm-hmm. So that's a long answer to a short question, but I wanted to share that story with you.
Well, beautiful.
Greg, thank you for sharing that. And I just want to say that I know you have brought your words of wisdom to literally hundreds of thousands of people at this particular point in time. And we are so anxious to hear what you have to share about your new book, because it is very, very important information.
And Greg, you've written a lot of best-selling books. And from our perspective, this is perhaps your opus, magnum opus, or whatever the term is, for being truly an amazing, amazing compendium of information. And on one level, it's almost as though a lot of your other books are very focused on perhaps one subject, but this encompasses an enormous amount of material, including new discoveries or the sciences about our humanness, and another about the transhuman movement, and another about human potential, etc. And you also have 70 human truths in the book that you've throughout it, and you have so much information about DNA and the subject of epigenetics and all sorts of other things. Where would you begin as our guide to understanding your purpose for writing this book and what's in it?
The title of the book, Pure Human, The Hidden Truth of Our Divinity, Power, and Destiny. This book, you know, in the last This is the 47th year I've done this work in one form or another. In my previous books, oh, thank you, Andy. I don't even have one of those.
Greg, we have a hard copy here of your book, and it is in my hands right now. And I don't
have one of those.
Yeah.
So I, you know, all my previous books, to some degree, I followed the guidelines of our publishers and the direction and the focus and the content. I didn't do that with this book. Everybody knows the world is a very different world. Something's happening, and there's a big piece that's missing. We're missing something in our understanding, and that's the reason I wrote this book. So there are two parallel themes. One theme is that there is a concerted effort to replace our humanness, to replace our biology with technology, with machines, with AI, with chemicals in the blood, sensors under the skin, computer chips in the brain. We all know that's happening. And the flip side of that is new discoveries are now viewing the human body not from a biology perspective of soft, sticky, gooey, wet, mushy cells, you know, and DNA. But the new science is viewing the human body from an IT perspective, information technology. And what they're finding is that we are truly a highly advanced, technologically sophisticated, soft technology, not a primitive hard technology like a silicon chip and a wire. We're more than that. We are neurons, and we are cell membranes, and we are DNA that function as transistors and resistors and circuits and photon emitters and photon readers. And the bottom line is that we already are the technology that is being introduced into our bodies, that we're being indoctrinated to accept into our bodies. And the best minds of our time are now telling us that the momentum to replace our humanness is happening so quickly that if we do not change our thinking within the next 5 years, before the year 2030, we very probably are the last generation of pure humans that the Earth, perhaps the universe, will ever know. Because by the year 2030, when you speak to someone on the street, you will be speaking to someone who is a hybrid to some degree of technology, whether it's an RFID chip that is being encouraged in places like Sweden for business applications, financial applications. U.S. military is encouraging them for military applications, or whether it's replacing systems, organs, tissues in the human body with AI and technology. By the year 2030, we will be speaking to some form of hybrid. And Ray Kurzweil, the futurist, and also one of the directors of engineering at Google AI, published a book earlier this year. This is the year 2024. He published a book called The Singularity. And what he is saying, and he has been very accurate with his projections in the past. He's the one that predicted we would have computers miniaturized to fit onto our desktop and into the palm of our hand at a time when nobody could see that happening. Well, he is saying that by the year 2045, which is not that far away, we will all be part of what is called the singularity. We will be digitally linked, digitally represented and linked in a global database run by artificial intelligence that monitors, that controls everything that is happening on the earth. And he's saying all the forests, all the animals in the forest, all the wildlife in the oceans, the humans, what we eat, what we consume, what we do, where we travel, what we purchase, all of that will be woven into what is called the singularity for purposes of control. So unless we change our thinking, we're on this path. So the book is identifying these two parallel paths, the movement, the concerted effort to replace our humanness on one side, and the other side, the discoveries that are telling us we don't need that external technology because we are the technology But there's a third piece, and I want to say this before we go to our break, because I mentioned that there's something missing. What is missing is the overarching context within which all of these things are happening. And it's a difficult conversation. It's a nuanced conversation. It's one that publishers don't often like to have, and a lot of Jonathan and Andy, your friends and my friends, our colleagues, are reluctant to have this conversation. All of this is happening under the umbrella of a fundamental battle that began when the first of our species emerged on this planet. It is a battle between good and evil. And when we talk about evil, it's not a metaphor. You know, I was born and raised in northern Missouri. Back in the 1950s, we used to joke about good and evil. You know, there was a little red devil on this shoulder that had horns and a pointy tail, and a little angel, and they'd always have this conversation. But evil has many masks. There is financial evil. There is biological evil. There's technological evil. There's sociological evil, psychological evil. And all of these things are playing out in our lives in a concerted effort to deny the potential of our humanness. Because when we deny our humanness, we become fearful. And that fear makes us vulnerable and susceptible to the control and the ideas of others. The other way of saying this is when we fully embrace the deep truth of what it means to be human, we transcend our fears, and we become the best version of ourselves. We imagine, we create, we innovate, we heal our bodies, we forgive without expectation of something in return. We love without fear. These are all fundamental aspects of our humanness that the movement hopes to deny. The movement is called the transhuman movement. Trans simply means beyond. So beyond human. The goal of the transhuman movement is to deny the deepest capacities of our humanness, capacities that free us as sovereign beings to live and love in this world, because when we are denied those things, as I said, we are much more vulnerable to the ideas and the control and the agendas of others. So that is, in a nutshell, the two parallel themes of the book. The effort to remove our humanness, deny our humanness, the new discoveries that are really exciting that are not being shared in the mainstream, and then the overarching theme within which these things are playing out that I think is missing in a lot of the conversations. That makes sense if I say it that way?
Yes, and I'm just going to like jump in and say that I remember when the concept of singularity was a very high consciousness idea of humankind really blending together and being in what we call oneness. And I was just amazed. I remember some years ago when Time magazine had the term singularity, I said, oh, wow, they're really getting spiritual. No, they were dealing with Kurzweil's idea of humans and machines merging, and it terrified me.
Well, and it terrifies me to this day. And, Greg, I think one of the really great things about your book, Pure Human, is that it helps people to understand at a deeper level what we're talking about here. And it's educating people, which I think is a real key to bringing that information so that we can decide which of those parallel universes we want to be in.
Yeah, I think it's important, Andy. And I just appreciate both of you even taking the time to look through this book. I know you have very full schedules, as we all do, and it's not necessarily an easy read. And I recognize that there are places in the book, for example, if we get into some technical things in the book, I give the readers the opportunity. I say, if you want the technical details, keep reading. If you don't, skip to the next, and it's 20 pages forward, and you can benefit from the outcome without going through the process. But I think the piece that's missing, this fundamental battle between good and evil, without understanding that, we tend to get caught up in the weeds. The recent election in the United States of America, I think, is a beautiful example of that. Because the powers that be consciously directed media to create narratives that go right to our most primal human instincts and trigger fear, trigger hate, trigger revenge, these kinds of things. And without understanding that that is a form of evil, then it's very easy to get sucked into the drama of those things. Not that they aren't important. The election is important. Everything that happened is important. But these conversations can be used to unify us in a kind way rather than weaponized to divide us in a hurtful way. So we come back from our break. Let's talk more about that.
Totally, because on a level, mass manipulation through fear, not a good thing. We are talking with our dear friend, Greg Braden.
I'm Andy Goldman.
And I'm Jonathan Goldman, and we'll be back almost immediately. Stay tuned.
Experience the power of vibroacoustic sound therapy with the new vibro-tuners from me, Jonathan Goldman. When applied to the body, this set of tuning forks creates deeply resonant harmonic frequencies that bring healthy vibrations to your cells. You'll experience a sonic massage that is soothing and healing. Try the vibro-tuners from HealingSounds.com.
You're listening to CHSR, Real Radio on the Web.
And we are back. I am Jonathan Goldman.
I'm Andy Goldman.
It's the Healing Sound Show.
And we are here with our esteemed guest, Greg Braden. And I want to let people know how they can get information and in touch with Greg. His website is Greg Braden, and that is Greg with two G's, GREGGBRADEN.com. Greg, we can't wait to get more information here.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you for the two G's. You know, my mom did that intentionally because two G's means you're not a Gregory. If it's one G, that's shortened from Gregory. Two G's is just plain Greg. So I'm just a plain Greg, and I appreciate you acknowledging that.
So we've been talking about some pretty precarious subjects that I was actually surprised that you covered them in your book, because we, on a personal level, have had these conversations for quite a while, but they've been very sort of undercover because most people don't want to hear about them. And here you choose, in pure human, to reveal a lot of these insights, and kudos to you for having the courage to bring this to our attention.
Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. I think people do want to hear about it. They want to hear about it if it's truthful, honest, and factual, and they want to hear about it within a context that empowers them rather than drives them into a fearful place. You know, it's often said that knowledge is power. Lack of knowledge is lack of power. We are being driven, in a direction that I think we all sense is not good for us. There are concerted efforts to break the social bonds that have always held us together as families, as communities, societies, nations, as a planet. Those bonds, you know, it began, I mean, just for example, the concerted effort began right around the year 2011 with the Occupy movement. And what happened was a very real problem was identified: the discrepancy between poverty and wealth, the rich and the poor, the 1%, the 99%. That's real. We need to talk about it. we need to solve that problem. We need to do it in a kind way that brings us together as a stronger community. It was weaponized to drive us apart from one another and to create hate and to create suspicion among us. And it was done very successfully, but it didn't end there. Because from there, the Me Too movement, a very important conversation about very real problems that have been swept under the carpet for too long. But once again, it wasn't done in a kind way. It was done to divide us. So now you've divided the rich against the poor. You've divided men against women. And the same thing happened with blacks against whites and Christians against Muslims, Jews against Muslims. It's happened with adults against children. And now the gender conversation, where the gender is being blurred. All these are important conversations, but they're being weaponized. Now it's coming down to the last bastion when everything else that people believe in falls apart. They often turn to religion. And now religion, for all people, all different religions, are under attack, breaking the bonds, the community bonds that have always held people together. Okay, religion has always played, in addition to the spirituality, which is important, it's always played a powerful social role to bring people together in community. And now that is under attack as well. All these are intentional. They're concerted efforts to make us more vulnerable to the ideas of others. And there's no shortage of ideas. The powers that be are looking at the year 2030, 5 short years from now, to remake the world in ways that we've never seen before. It's identified through people like the World Economic Forum, who used to be a bastion of ideas that had no impact on the world at large. All of that changed in the year 2019. 2019, the WEF signed a formal agreement with the United Nations through the UN SDG 2030 program, Sustainable Development Goals 2030, the 17 goals that they want to have implemented by the year 2030. So the WEF is now working with the UN to implement their vision. So just be really clear what's happening here. This is a handful of people that were not elected by us, but assume that they know what's best for the world and what's best for us. Here's what makes this book so important. I'm identifying this, but what's different between now and the past? We've always had the ability to change the world around us. You know, we've clear-cut forests and hunted bison to extinction. I did an interview last night in Australia, hunted dodos to extinction, the dodo bird. That's the world outside of us. For the first time, Jonathan Nandy, we have the ability, the technology, to change the world within us and to do it in ways that cannot be reversed. Once we give away our humanness to the technology, once we replace our biology with the chemicals and the sensors and the computer chips and the AI, it's not like a little dial where you can turn it and say, whoops, we didn't like that, let's go back. Because what happens is the human body morphs and adapts to the change, and it is no longer the same body. You can't go back because that form of biology no longer exists. This is how you lose a species, exactly how you lose a species. These are concerted efforts to replace our humanness with technology for purposes of power and control, and to do so within the next 5 years. We need to be aware of the implications. What does it mean when we give our humanness away? The other side of this, and if people, and I'm going to acknowledge it's a very different way of thinking, and it's not everybody's cup of tea. I totally get that. Yet it affects everyone. These choices, policies are being written, the laws are being enacted right now that are going to mandate many of these changes in our lives and in our bodies. So what it really comes down to, I know we're going to go to a break here in a minute, what it really comes down to, it's all about love. And the question is simply this: do we love ourselves enough to embrace the gift of what it means to be human and the responsibility that comes from human power of intuition and our gifts of healing and love and compassion? Do we love ourselves enough to accept that in our lives, or have we been indoctrinated into the fear that makes us feel small and vulnerable and powerless, believing we need something outside of our bodies? So that's why this conversation is important.
Rory and Greg, and I wanted to say we're going to go into a commercial break, but we're coming back, and I know we're going to be talking about then on a level a little bit more of a positive vent in terms of some of the new, really, shall we say, discoveries about our humanness that really put to shame everything else. So let's go to commercial break. We are talking with our dear friend Greg Braden about his upcoming book, Pure Human.
Stay with us. We will be right back.
Okay, bye-bye now. Stay tuned.
Quantum physics tells us that everything is vibration. You are vibration. Ancient wisdom tells us we have seven chakras. These chakras are the vibrational energy centers of our body. They are responsible for our health and wellness. Many times, they are out of balance. When this happens, we lose our health and wellness. Now you can use the power of vibration to put your chakras into balance. You don't need any instruments, nutrients, or anything else but your own voice. Learn to balance your chakras to experience health and wellness. The complete chakra chanting experience at www.healingsounds.com/chakra-chanting. Try it. It'll change your life.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
And we are back. I am Jonathan Goldman.
And I'm Andy Goldman. And we are back with our honored and esteemed guest, Greg Braden. And Greg, I know in our last segment, we were really beginning to get into the information about what the vision of these globalists are to really change our whole beingness of being human. And I would love for people to know more about this, as well as what they can do to hold on to their humanness, basically.
Yeah. And well, thank you, Andy. I mean, this goes back to the first couple of minutes of this conversation. Anything that denies our humanness is a form of evil. And I think this is a positive conversation because it gives context to the crazy chaos that we're seeing in the world around us. Many people, I go to the market here at my little local co-op, and people think the world's just falling apart for no apparent reason and that it's spontaneous. It's not spontaneous. We're living a little window of time, and I think this is the good news. This chaos is not going to last forever. It cannot, because it's unsustainable. Something's got to give. It's a little window of time between now and 2030. And what we're seeing are the powers that be and the forces, seen and unseen. They are all jockeying for the best position to be in when we reach this benchmark of the year 2030. There are events, cosmologic events, cyclic events that are converging on that year, and they want to be in the best place possible. There's the piece of this that we haven't mentioned yet, so I'm going to use a word. I'll identify the word, and then let's break it down to its contemporary definition. When we deny access to our humanness, ultimately what is happening is we're denying our own divinity. All right, the word divinity, for a lot of people, I know it can come with baggage. It can come with a charge. So what I want to say is I acknowledge that. The contemporary definition of divinity has nothing to do with religion. It simply is identified as the ability to transcend perceived limitations, and that's it. So our divinity, our ability to transcend, to become more than perceived limitations, I love this. This is good news. They may not even be real. We may be living within limitations, biological limitations, psychological limitations, limitations of telepathy and humanness and healing. We may be living within limitations that are not even ours, are not even true. We've been indoctrinated to accept them. We've been indoctrinated through religion, through science, through education, false narratives of science, false narratives of education. So our divinity is really what's on the line. And when we claim our divinity, that is how we triumph in the battle between good and evil. Notice I didn't say when, because when you think about winning, what you're talking about is the old idea of force against force. We don't want to do that. That's what keeps us stuck in this ancient battle between good and evil. We don't want to win. We want to triumph. We triumph over evil by living the best version of ourselves, by living our humanness, by living our divinity. So what does that mean? Divinity, aspects, elements of our divinity. Our imagination is a function of our divinity. Our creativity, our ability to heal. Our healing begins with our divinity and the way we think of ourselves. If we think and believe that we are powerless victims that need something outside of our bodies, then our body is programmed biologically to respond in that way. It's difficult to heal when you believe that you are powerless in your own healing. So these are all functions. Love. Love is a function of divinity. Forgiveness is a function of divinity. Compassion is a function of divinity. So what's happening is, the movement to replace our humanness is a movement to deny our divinity. And in the absence of our divinity is when we are lost. It's when we're afraid. It's when we feel weak and powerless. And in that state, we reach out to the powers that be and say, hey, fix this. You know, do anything to make it better. And that's where we get into trouble. So really, this book is a celebration of our humanness. And my goal in writing it, as I was writing this book, this is the first book where I actually took 7 months of my life, with a few exceptions where I was under contract to speak publicly. I took 7 months to write the book because I wanted to say really precisely, I wanted to say it in the best way possible, this relationship between biology, divinity, the events of our world. Always in the past, I've written the books on airplanes, in airports, in hotels, you know, in automobiles transferring from one place to another. So this was an opportunity, and I said, this is important. And I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and the publishers will either deny it or they'll accept it. If they deny it, we'll self-publish, because this needs, I feel, if we're ever going to look squarely into the face of reality and what's on the line right now, now is the time to do it. Our humanness, our divinity are on the line, and I think both are worth preserving. And that's why I wrote this the way I wrote it.
And Greg, it's really interesting in the book, and I know we don't have time to delve into it more than really peripherally, but you really do talk about some of the extraordinary aspects of our humanness, our ability to be human, that really transcends our normal realms of thinking and consciousness, and the fact that we can perhaps have the ability of really, with our light, our love, and I like to say our sound, we can manifest really extraordinary realms of being.
Well, we could talk about it briefly. And, you know, when we have more time, we can talk about more in depth. The bottom line is the best science of the modern world is showing us that we are not what we've been told. We're more than we've been led to believe. We are literally a highly advanced, technologically sophisticated, soft technology. And where our young people are being taught to embrace a computer chip as the God, to worship AI, to worship the computer chips, what the science is showing is that a computer chip, okay, a silicon computer chip, is it fast? Absolutely. Is it efficient? Absolutely. Is it scalable? A computer chip can only scale. It's limited by the physics of the stuff it's made of. The atoms of silicon are arranged in a way that limit how information can be transmitted. Once it reaches that limit, it can't go any further. Now you look at a human neuron. What's our limit? The truth is we don't know, because every time scientists push the cells in the brain, the neurons, to what they believe was a limit, we do what humans are designed to do. We morph, we adapt to that new condition, and we open an entire new vista of potential. What is our top end? What is our scalability? It appears to be infinite, and that's only for the neurons. That applies throughout the body. That applies to the DNA in the cells. It applies to the cell membranes. It applies to the respiratory system, to the immune response. I mean, there are so many things that we could get into. But what's so interesting is that the science now, once again, is looking at the human body from an IT perspective. And they're publishing the results, not in a biology book where kids get to read it, but they're publishing this in these engineering journals, these obscure, was the word I was looking for, obscure engineering journals that only a handful of people. So just quick example, Journal of Advanced Computing has now released an edition, and I talk about this in the book. DNA is a fractal antenna.
Yes.
What does that mean? An antenna tunes to a signal. We all know that. Our DNA doesn't tune to just one signal. It's fractal. It's tuning to many signals across a broad spectrum of information. We're pulling this stuff in, and then we triage the information, and we're making use of this in a way that engineers strive to create in the physical world around them. But we already do it, except we do it better, and that's just one example.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And Greg, what's coming to me is that all of the things that you're talking about are really tuning into our quote unquote divinity. And that is where we have these feelings, these emotions, these aspects of love and compassion. And I think what I'd like for our listeners to sort of take away that you're talking about is that once we lose that, we can't get it back. And that's why this is such an important conversation and such an important book.
And we're going to get right back to that. We're talking with Greg Braden. We'll be right back. And I'm just going to add one little thing. I think on a level, we're discussing the infinite human. What a concept. We'll be right back.
Do you want to experience the powerful benefits of sound healing? Read The Humming Effect by Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman. Discover how the simplest sounds may be the most profound. Dr. Bruce Lipton has said, "It is a powerful non-pharmaceutical prescription for self-healing that has only positive side effects, such as harmony, health, and happiness." You can find The Humming Effect at HealingSounds.com, Amazon.com, or wherever fine books are sold.
Hello, this is Jonathan Goldman. I'd like to bring you a few moments of relaxation by offering you this opportunity to listen to some of my music. This is an excerpt of Quiet Space from Celestial Reiki. If you can, just close your eyes and take a nice deep breath as you listen to this music. If you'd like to hear more of my music, please go to Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, Apple Music, YouTube, or anywhere else you stream music. Thank you.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
And we are back. I'm Jonathan Goldman.
I am Andy Goldman, and we are here with Greg Braden. And to get more information about Greg and his new book, Pure Human, go to his website, gregbraden.com. And once again, that is Greg with two G's, G-R-E-G-G, Braden.com.
Greg, we're talking about your forthcoming book, Pure Human, which is brilliant. And it's so vast and really full of information, knowledge, all this stuff. What's the major takeaway that you would like people to get?
Yeah. You know, I think, as I mentioned earlier, my hope in writing this book is that the reader walks away first with a deeper appreciation for what it means to be human, and maybe even a sense of pride to be a human, because the idea of our humanness is being denigrated in the mainstream. Young people are being taught that we are a flawed species, that we are a weak, frail, powerless, and flawed species subject to all kinds of failure modes is what young people are being taught. And when you begin looking at the new discoveries and you begin looking at the human body from the perspective that we're talking about, what we see is none of that's true. It simply is not true. It's demonstrably false. Because the best science of the modern world is showing us what an extraordinary being we are, what extraordinary potentials we have. And once we understand that, I think we feel less of an urgency to replace our biology with the technology, because we are the technology. So one of the things I want to say in the last segment, I think some of our viewers know during the Cold War years, I was in the defense industry, working in the as a computer. I was actually in your backyard in Denver, Colorado, is where I was working as a senior computer systems designer for a company at that time. It was called Martin Marietta Data Systems, and now it's Lockheed Martin. So it's taken a big turn. But one of the things I found working in that industry, and some of the most advanced technology of the time, I worked on the Star Wars SDI, Star Wars Defense Initiative, advanced lasers, advanced communication, advanced radar systems. One of the things I learned is that the more advanced the systems are behind the scenes, the simpler the user interface to access that technology becomes. Our mobile phone is a perfect example. I mean, you literally put your finger on a picture and you set into motion a whole cascade of events to pay your bills or to talk to your friends. Well, that idea applies to us. We are so complex behind the scenes that we have a very simple user interface, which means you don't have to know everything we're talking about to benefit from the discoveries that are being made. Our user interface is the subject of our most ancient and cherished spiritual traditions. We access our technology through thought, feeling, emotion, breath, focus, nutrition, and movement. And the combination of these is what allows us to embrace the power of our divinity. That is how we imagine and we create and we innovate and we love and we heal and we forgive and we have compassion for those around us. So the book gives people, I think most people are open to thinking about themselves differently if they're given a reason, a really good reason to do so. So what I want to do, I could have written a book and simply said in the preface, you're not what you've been told, you're more than you've been led to believe, and everybody's heard that a bajillion times. So what? So I wanted to give specific examples. So I give case histories of intuition between a mother and a son when he's on a battlefield in Afghanistan, or intuition in terms of remote viewing. Ingo Swann, for example, working with Stanford Research Institute back in the early days of remote viewing, actually remote viewed the planet Jupiter before the first space probes flew by Jupiter. He wanted to remote view first and compare his findings to what the space probe actually saw. So he, in his remote viewing, he identified rings around Jupiter, and all of his upper management, all the authorities, they said, oh, he missed his target. He missed Jupiter. He was looking at Saturn, because we all know about the rings on Saturn. Well, the images came back from the spacecraft a few months later. Lo and behold, Jupiter has not one, but multiple rings. They're made of a material that's different than Saturn, so it's not so easy to see with a telescope. The astronomers had missed it until the 1970s. And it validated just how powerful and how precise the intuition that we call remote viewing can be, and how practical and how real it really is. So if someone wants reasons to think differently about themselves, I'm sharing scientific discoveries, and I'm also sharing the case histories and real-world events that show us that we're not what we've been told, and we are so much more than we've been led to believe.
Beautiful. And I know on a level behind everything is your teaching and awareness that it's a combination of the heart and the mind working together that brings us to perhaps one of our highest levels of being. Would you agree?
Yes, I think that's an important component because it is a whole body concept. So many people in our genre, and when I say that, Jonathan, I'm talking about the New Thought community, New Age community in some respects, have been taught that they need something outside of themselves. And many of them just want to get out of here. They just want to get off this planet because life has been very painful for them, because they've never been made aware of their own power and of their own divinity. But once we embrace our divinity, heart and brain is certainly a big part of that, harmonizing, creating coherence between the heart and the brain. Deeper traditions, you create that coherence even beyond the heart and the brain, into the other organs and tissues of the body, and then between the body and the world around us, creating coherence between us and the field and the world around us. So once we begin to think of ourselves from this perspective, I think it gives us the reasons. I can't teach anyone. I can simply show them what I have found. I can simply show them what the discoveries are showing. And then it's up to the individual. You have to be open to thinking about yourself differently, and you have to be open to your own power. And I think this is probably where the workshop begins.
Yeah.
Because we've been conditioned to believe that we are flawed and powerless beings. You know, and I, even knowing that, Jonathan, Andy, I know it's happening, and the marketing is so slick, and the marketing is so sexy, pushing this technology, showing, for example, a man walking down the street with 15 RFID chips in his hand and his arm. The birds are singing, the sky is blue, and he says, I feel more free than I've ever felt, because I left the house, I didn't need my billfold, I didn't need my driver's license, I didn't need my car keys, because it's all in these chips that are now in my body. And, you know, or computer chips in the brain that communicate with the hard drive of the computer through Bluetooth technology, essentially. Mm-hmm. Young people look at that and they say, oh, sweet. You know, I can do Grand Theft Auto with no keyboard. Who wouldn't want that? So this is the kind of marketing that's out there, and no one has told our young people in their public schools how rare and precious the human body is, and how powerful yet how fragile the human body is. They've never given young people a reason to think differently about what they put into their bodies or what they put onto their bodies, because we've all been taught. I'm part of this. I'm part of this programming. I've had to work to deprogram myself, and I'm still learning about that. To deprogram myself from the incoming indoctrination that I need something out there to be successful in life and to be the best version of myself. We go back to the battle between good and evil, and this is ultimately, once again, how we triumph. We triumph by embracing the deep truth of our divinity, and that is how we triumph over evil in our lives.
Ah, my brother Greg.
Oh, Greg, this is such valuable, absolutely vital information that you are sharing with us today. And I just want everybody out there to really know about this, because once that transhumanism comes in, our divinity is gone.
Yikes.
And we cannot get it back. And I think that is a huge message from your book, Greg.
It has been an honor to speak to our beloved colleague, Greg Braden, who has a new book out called Pure Human. It'll probably be out in a couple of weeks, actually, and it's brilliant. And you can, Greg Braden, GREGGBRADEN.com. Go there. If you don't know his work, check him out. He's also all over the internet, and particularly YouTube, all over the place, Greg Braden Official. Greg, I consider you to be a modern prophet of our times, and I am grateful to have you in our lives. Thank you so much for being with us and honoring us with your consciousness and your heart.
Greg, we love you, and we are so honored. I keep wanting to say that word, because having you share this incredibly important information is a gift, and thank you for being a gift to humanity.
Wow. Well, it's good for me to hear that from both of you. We've known one another a long time. You know, I love you both. I deeply appreciate the lifetime that you've devoted, two lifetimes, to bringing so much love to this world, making this world a better place. And now this podcast has become a hub, creating community that is so vital right now. So I want to thank you for trusting me with your community, who is my family. And I'm very much looking forward to the next. Thank everybody for tuning in today. We appreciate it.
And Greg will be right back with telling our folks who's going to be on next month.
And Greg, in the meantime, many, many blessings of love and light through sound to you, our dear brother.
Quantum physics tells us that everything is vibration. You are vibration. Ancient wisdom tells us we have seven chakras. These chakras are the vibrational energy centers of our body. They are responsible for our health and wellness. Many times, they are out of balance. When this happens, we lose our health and wellness. Now you can use the power of vibration put your chakras into balance. You don't need any instruments, nutrients, or anything else but your own voice. Learn to balance your chakras to experience health and wellness. The complete chakra chanting experience at www.healingsounds.com/chakra-chanting. Try it. It'll change your life.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hey, and we are back for just final conclusion. What a great show with Greg Braden. So honored. That was just so wonderful. And hey, we want to wish everybody a happy forthcoming new year. And starting on January 8th, we've got Dr. Roland McCready of the Heart Math Institute talking about their wonderful work. So do tune in on January 8th. And meanwhile, keep lots of love and light through sound and many blessings for a luminescent new year. Bye-bye now.